Well, thank you, Pastor Tim, for this opportunity to minister here this morning, and Christine and all the leadership of the church. Yeah, it's nice to be in person after ministering online the last time, to see all your faces and to really experience the presence of the Lord in this place. And that's one thing that we value very much, Swajan and me, and we do our best to cultivate His presence in our home. And we connect with Lakemont Worship Center in Grimsby, Pastors Matt and Lisa Tapley, and that's a huge core value of our church as well. And I feel like God's actually stirring something up in the Niagara region right now, and it all begins with His presence. And I'm really feeling it here. Where we honor His presence first and foremost, and He shows up, then everything gets taken care of. Amen. So we don't have to focus on our needs. We just have to focus on Him. Yeah. And so, yeah. Whew. Tia? Okay, all right. Okay. I'm really grateful to God for connecting me with Pastor Tim a few years ago. He heard a little bit about what we were doing with our marriage mentorship and invited me to a group of POC pastors, I think we met in St. Catharines, none of us realized the significance of that meeting, because after the meeting, one of the pastors came to me and said, "Hey, can I have coffee with you?" And he laid something on my heart that really touched me, because he said, "In many of our churches, you know, even solid, you know, Pentecostal charismatic churches." We are finding that many of our couples are running into difficulties in their marriage. And so he said, the Lord has showed us that we need to match up couples who are more mature in their marriage with couples who are young in their marriage, because a lot of couples begin to experience problems in year two. But they don't talk about it. They somehow think that they can rush it to push it through. And then year three and four come along, and now they're at a point of desperation and come to see the pastors only when they're ready to give up on their marriage. And so he said, "Can you adapt your material, your curriculum, to create something like that for our church?" And so I said, "Sure, I'll work on it." And then COVID hit. And so that those plans got shelved because the plan that he had in mind was not going to work. But in the meantime, God gave us that season to actually put our mentorship process into a book form and then an e-course and so on. So right now, actually, that vision is beginning to come true. We're working with congregations and helping them to do that. So I really appreciate the way that God made our connection, Tim, you know, work to advance the kingdom in a way that neither of us would have imagined at that particular point. Before I launch into the message that the Lord laid on my heart for you today, and it says I'm just in awe of how the Holy Spirit weaves everything together, that the entire flow of the service is actually leading in this direction today. But there are a couple of words of knowledge, you know, wisdom, whatever you want to call them, that the Lord released to me for specific people, I believe, and for the church. And so I'm just going to share those words with you. And if they resonate with you, you know, just receive them. And maybe at the end of the service, you can come and share them with Surajan and me. The first word that I heard from the Lord was, "The womb remembers." Womb, W-O-M-B, the womb remembers. And I felt like this word was for someone who was pregnant, but then did not carry through the baby to full term. And the Lord wants me to assure you that your womb remembers. And God remembers you. And so do not be discouraged, because there is life in your womb. God has already proved it once, and He will do it again for you. Amen?
Amen.
Another word that I just got during worship this morning, I felt like there's someone either here today or listening to this after who's trying to make a decision about whether to pursue a career or a course or something along that line, a particular program, and you're concerned that you may not be able to carry the student loan or the debt that you may have to incur. And I felt like the Lord wanting me to say to you this morning, do not let the prospect of debt be the deciding factor in making that choice. So the Lord's giving you the freedom to discern where, what he wants you to do, but do not let the debt be the deciding factor. All right, and here's the third word, which is from Luke chapter 5, verse 3. Jesus says to Peter, "Let me use your boat. Push it off a short distance away from the shore so I can speak to the crowd." And when I read this as part of my daily reading, I thought, well, there's something here, you know, because a boat is normally used for fishing. But Jesus says, "I'm going to use your boat for preaching today." And I felt the Holy Spirit say that there's a repurposing that he is doing in this season. And the repurposing may be for some of you, something very personal, where God has said, "Hey, this is the way that you've been making your livelihood. This is, you know, being your business right now. These are the skill sets that you have. And you've been using them in a particular way, like Peter was using his fishing boat for fishing. But now I'm repurposing what you already have. You don't need to give up what you have, but I'm repurposing to reach the crowds through what I can do when I get into your boat and you let me use your boat." And I felt that maybe even literally, anybody here have a boat, by the way? Can I see your hand? Any boat owners here? Nobody owns a boat. Oh, there's a few that own boats, okay? That God might be literally using that boat right there that you own right now to make this happen. Maybe make a connection with some of the Turkish refugees in town is what I felt like God was saying. But in a broader sense, the boat actually is a symbol of the church. As a matter of fact, when I grew up in southern India, and one of the places that we used to go for the summer, the church, it was right by the ocean. The pulpit was actually in the shape of a boat. And it was a reminder, of course, you know the boat frequents prominently in Jesus' life with the disciples on the boat and the waves rise and then Jesus saying, "Peace be still," and stilling the storm. But over the years, the boat has been a picture of a church that is always sailing on stormy seas. And I still remember a plaque that my dad used to have. He was a pastor in his study. And the plaque had a picture of a boat on water with a cross for a mast. And it was slightly tilted, but you could tell that it was not going to be consumed by the waves. And I feel like this word is specifically for the church as well, not just the church in Niagara, but the church global, I believe, that this is a season when God is calling the church to repurpose itself. To focus on what he has laid on your heart. And that's going to vary from congregation to congregation, from denomination to denomination. But I feel like the Lord wanted me to say, don't be afraid to repurpose in this season, because you don't have to give up what you've got. But I will use it for my greater glory, because once Jesus got Peter's permission to step into the boat, now he was able to bless the crowds with it, and so will you. Amen? All right. Well, again, as I said, the Holy Spirit set the stage beautifully today with communion especially. And when Pastor Tim was leading us in that part about the bread, he mentioned exactly what the Lord wanted me to preach about today. And that is, by his stripes, we are healed. Amen? Amen? All right. And so I want to share with you some incidents from my life where I experienced the healing miracles of Jesus as the healer in very specific ways. And I want to share these experiences to encourage you. And at the very end, we are actually going to experience healing. What happened at the first service, when we finally got to the time of ministering, that a number of people received their healing. And by the way, anybody here need a healing this morning? Otherwise, I'm walking out right now. Anybody need a healing? Just put up your hand where you are. Okay, that's good. Okay, all right. Because there's no point in praying for healing if nobody needs to be healed. Hello? All right, and so I believe the Holy Spirit's going to do something very specific for you. So stay expectant, all right? So I was a pastor for over 35 years in the United Church of Canada. And I know you're thinking, that's kind of ironic, isn't it? You know, and I think it's ironic because having retired from the United Church, now all I do is preach in Pentecostal churches. Go figure that out. Only God. Amen? Okay. So my first encounter with the Holy Spirit happened in a small group of pastors. That was the person that actually led that particular meeting is Pastor Steve Long, who just stepped down from the senior leadership of Catch the Fire in Toronto. And so, you know, Steve was just basically teaching some very basic concepts, you know, about healing, about Jesus the healer. And then, you know, like in Acts 10:38, for example, he said, oh, Jesus went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil because God was with him. And he said, you know, if Jesus did that with the power of the Holy Spirit, then, you know, if you got the Holy Spirit in you, you should be able to do it too, wouldn't you? And I'm thinking, I'm not too sure about that. Okay. Jesus did, but can I? Okay. So anyway, I just to kind of let that sit. So after the message was delivered, we all went into a Sunday school room, and there were 25 of us approximately. And there were no chairs there, so we all just stood around the edge of the room, and we're going to pray. So I'm thinking, I know exactly what's going to happen. We're all going to join hands, hold hands together, like we do in camp, and we're going to sing, Kumbaya, my Lord. And then everybody's going to shout our prayer request. We're going to be out of here in 7 minutes flat. No, that's not what happened. Because Steve said, myself and these two guys here, their names were Glenn and Drew, we're going to come around. We're going to pray for everybody. I'm thinking, I will be late for lunch. Okay. But that's okay. I'll stay for prayer. So they started praying one by one. And all of a sudden I noticed there was, everybody was standing, but one woman was sitting on a chair. And so when they came to her, they said, why are you sitting in a chair? And she said, well, I have a really, really bad backache, and so I cannot stand for any length of time. That's why I'm sitting down. So Steve looked her in the eye, and he said, do you want to take that backache home with you today, or do you want to leave it behind before you get home? And she's like, well, duh. Of course I want to leave the backache behind. He said, okay, in that case, we'll pray for you. So, you know, all three guys, they started kind of praying, and I couldn't quite hear what they were saying. I heard them say, Holy Spirit, come. That's as far as God. And then one of the guys, Drew, said, I'm seeing a picture of a three-year-old girl in a red dress running from the back door of her house towards what looks like a pond. Does that mean anything to you? And she just started bawling her eyes out. And so when she gained her composure, she said, well, you just described one of the most painful days of my life as a little girl. And so what happened? Well, she didn't tell all the details. She said it had something to do with my dad. And so they said, have you forgiven your dad? And she said, yeah, I think so. He said, no, you haven't. Okay. Would you like to forgive him? Yep. Okay. Repeat after me. I chose to forgive my dad for the pain he inflicted upon me. That's about it. And then they said, okay, now you get up and, you know, like do a sit-up. And she started going down. It's like, oh, my God, my God, my God. She was completely healed. And they said, yeah, that is God, by the way, just in case you're wondering. That was the right expression. Okay. And I'm over here. This is happening around there. I'm over here, my first exposure to the Holy Spirit, right? I'm thinking, that just happened? She just got healed? I thought you had to fast and pray forever before you could get somebody healed. Or, you know, you call the guy in the white suit to come and say, Torf. And that usually makes it very, very fast. But, you know, like little old me, you know. And Steve said that we should be able to do the same thing. And I know Drew and Glenn, they're in the same denomination as me. And God just used them. Like, I'm trying to make sense of all of this. But he got my attention. And so I just started to develop this curiosity more than anything else about healing the way that Jesus did. And so I started going to some conferences, workshops, and so on. And one of the workshops was led by a man from the UK. He was originally from Ghana. His name was Sam Larby. Big guy. Used to be a colonel in the Ghanaian army or something like that. And so his whole talk was healing is easy. And yeah, actually he even wrote a book by that name. And so he said, he says, most of you make healing way too complicated. Jesus never did. And so he says, here's the way that I minister healing, and it's like pretty well 100% people get healed. And it's like, whoa, now I'm like leaning on the edge of my seat. I want to write down, what is the formula for this? Okay. So he said, I just look at somebody that I haven't, maybe just met them for the first time, and they say, do you have any pain in your body? Sorry, forgive my Ghanaian accent. That's not a good one at all. But that's what it kind of sounded like to me. And he said, they will tell me yes or no. They will say, yes, I have a pain. Or they'll say, I don't have a pain, but I am dealing with some other problem. I mean, if you really want to get a conversation going, ask somebody, what are they sick with? And they'll tell you, okay? Some of them might take 15 minutes, but they'll tell you, okay? Everybody likes to share their troubles, don't they? And so he said, and then I say to them, do you want to keep it or do you want to get rid of it? I wonder where you learned that one from. And they, of course, he said, they always say, and I stay there with a smile. So he's a big guy, right? So they're not going to argue with him. And they'll just say, yes, of course I want to get rid of it, sir. And so he said, I just tell them, repeat after me, my healing belongs to me because of what Jesus has done. I receive my healing now in Jesus' name, and they get healed. And I thought, oh, that sounds pretty simple, pretty straightforward. And then I started to hang around Steve Long a little bit more when we even did some traveling together. And I noticed that no matter where we went, especially in restaurants, he would, when the waitress or waiter came to get our order, he would say, by the way, do you have any pain in your body? And how many waiters and waitresses don't have pain in their body, right? It's like, the answer is always yes. It's like shooting fish in a barrel. And so they'd always say yes, and he would then go on and say, well, would you like to get rid of it? Of course, the smile, and say, oh, of course. And so he's, repeat this after me. My healing belongs to me because of what Jesus has done. I receive my healing now in Jesus' name. And, I should just, what just happened? That pain went away in my feet or hips or back or whatever. And so I'm watching this. I'm absorbing it. But I'm also hearing this word about, well, if Jesus could do it, so can you. And so one day I went to Steve and said, Steve, I can see that you can do it like Jesus did. And Sam Larbee is doing it and all these others are doing it, but I'm not sure if it'll work for me or not. He said, the only way you're going to find out is if you try it. Duh. Okay. So I came home. I'm pastoring in St. Catharines at the time. Church has two services. First service is very liturgical, formal. Second service is very informal. And so that service, I go there and the Holy Spirit says, go for it. And I'm like, I don't think so. I'm God and you're not. No, I'm not doing it. I don't care what you say. So have you ever noticed you can kind of push the Holy Spirit aside a few times, but then he eventually gets you? Yeah. And so, so that Sunday came, one Sunday. And every Sunday I'm driving, I'd hear that. This is the day. And finally that day came. And I'm really, really nervous. Because first of all, I'm in a denomination where healing is not the most common thing, that to everybody that was there. But I figured if I don't practice this, the Holy Spirit's going to keep on hounding me. And so to get him off my back, I'm going to do this today. So I said to everybody that day when it came time for the corporate prayer, hey, friends, today we're going to do something very different from the way we normally pray. And I'd watched all these guys do it a few times, so I knew exactly what to do. Today, rather than me doing all the praying, I'm going to ask, first of all, anybody have pain in your body or any kind of sickness? And just like you guys did, a few hands went up. So I said, okay, very quickly, put your hand in the part of your body that's hurting and repeat these words after me. And I'm going a lot faster than this because I'm really, really nervous. So when I get nervous, I talk very, very fast, okay? So I've said, repeat these words after me. My healing belongs to me because of what Jesus has done. I receive my healing now in Jesus' name. Amen. And said, Holy Spirit, are you happy now? So, now what we're normally supposed to do after you do that, after you make the declaration, you're supposed to ask, had anybody noticed a change in your pain level or anything? And then, get some testimonies, you praise God together. And so I'm getting this reminder from Holy Spirit, ask for testimonies, and I'm saying, why would I do that? I don't want to embarrass you and me, Lord, if nothing happens. And so anyway, the service is finished. You know, we go home. We have a life group that meets in our home. So the three or four people that were coming at the time all show up. And this one woman says to me, Hey, this morning when you asked us to say that prayer? I said, yeah. And I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to get an earful because I'm not supposed to do that in this church. She says, I got healed. I said, what? You got healed? Man of faith talking, you know. I said, what happened? She said, well, I have this condition called acid reflux. And you know, the strangest thing is that morning when I was driving, the Holy Spirit said something about acid reflux to me, but I'd never heard the word before, so why would I release it and make a fool of myself, right? So I kept it to myself, and when she said that, I'm thinking, uh-oh, that's what he said was going to happen. So I said, well, what does that mean? How do you know that you are healed? She said, I could not drink tea, you know, for decades. This afternoon, I just thought, you know, because I felt like I was healed, that I would try a cup of tea and nothing happened. So I'm healed. She said, can I share the testimony in church next Sunday? I said, no. What if this healing doesn't last? You drink a few gallons of tea every day this week. And if you have no problems next Sunday, then maybe we can testify. So she comes back to life group the next Sunday and she said, trust me, I've been drinking all sorts of tea this week and I'm healed. You got to believe me. Can I give the testimony? I'm thinking, So I said, Surajana, this woman doesn't know what tea really is. Let's make her some Indian masala chai. And if she drinks that and survives, then we have grounds to believe that she might be healed. So Sloja makes some chai. She drinks and she's fine. And she says, can I testify? I said, I'm still not feeling a release in my spirit. Basically means I don't have enough faith yet. And so I said, let's just wait one more week. So the next week she comes. And so I said, yeah, you drink some masala chai in the meantime. And she said, you know, you got to believe me. I am healed. So I said, can I testify? I said, just one more test, please, if you don't mind. And so I said to Sulajana, make her the strongest version of Indian masala chai that you can make and serve her some of the spiciest snacks from India that we have in the house. That combination will definitely prove that she doesn't have any acid reflux anymore. So long story short, she ate the snacks, no problem, didn't drop down. Drank the masala chai, still standing. Okay, Arya said, you can testify next week. So we come to church next Sunday, and so she gets the mic from me, and she testifies. And the Holy Spirit said to me, ask if anybody else has any problems with their stomach. And so four hands went up, and so I said, come on up here. And friends, we didn't have to do any more praying for them. All four of them got healed, just like that. And you know, as much as they were all healed and were happy for them, the Holy Spirit really got my attention because he basically said, you know what? Healing is easy. This, you know, like you don't have to sweat it. You know, you don't have to like fast and pray for, you know, 45 years before you can heal anybody. Because, and this is the revelation I want to share with you this morning. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 8. And Matthew chapter 8 is actually full of episodes of healing that Jesus did. So I'll just give you the quick Reader's Digest version. Verses 1 to 4, Jesus heals a leper. Leper comes to him, says, Lord, if you're willing, you'll make me clean. Jesus says, I'm willing. And then he touches him, and the leprosy disappears just like that. Verses 5 to 13, a Roman centurion comes and says, Lord, my servant is ill. You know, but I don't want you to come and lay hands on him. Just say the word, and I know that he'll be healed. Jesus says, go, we'll be well with you. And then he finds out that at the exact moment that Jesus gave the word, that centurion's servant is healed. And then he goes into Peter's house, and Peter's mother-in-law is sick with a very high temperature. And now she doesn't ask for healing, but Jesus goes, touches her, and the fever left her just like that. And now she's able to, you know, get up and do what mothers-in-law do make food for everybody. Hello? And so there's a whole series of healings. Now, you know what happens when one healing happens, word gets around. When a couple of healings happen, word gets around even more. And so now the whole town has discovered that there's a healer that has showed up. And in verse 16 and 17 we read, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. And then Matthew adds this reference, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. And of course, Isaiah 53 also goes on to say, by his stripes we are healed. It's really interesting. I've probably read Isaiah 53 many, many times. But after witnessing that healing, when I went back and read it, I said, he took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. I always thought that the suffering servant, all God wanted him to do was to lay down his life so that we could be saved. But there was a huge revelation that by his stripes, it was God's will and desire that Jesus would not only purchase salvation, but actually purchase healing for us on the journey to the cross. You know, probably many of you remember a few years ago when the Passion of the Christ movie came, and I just put a few slides together from that movie. I didn't even get a clip to show for our Good Friday service, and oh my goodness, I got a earful saying, oh, that was just so gory, so awful, you know, like, why would you do that, and so on. And that when I was watching the movie that Good Friday, Sojan and I did when we came back home, I thought, he does spend a lot of time on the flogging, you know, like showing those whips with the little metal things at the end and the flesh being ripped apart and stuff. Like, did he really have to do all that? And the revelation became even stronger. Yes, by his stripes, by those blows that Jesus took, by the lashings that he took on his back, that was necessary for us to have our healing. See, and that is why healing becomes easy. Because by his stripes we are healed. It's his stripes that purchased our healing. So we don't have to, you know, get worked up and work hard to receive our healing. We simply need to acknowledge what Jesus did for us and then say, that healing is now mine. And I receive it in Jesus' name. And all of a sudden, it all came together for me that what Pastor Sam Larby taught, what I saw Pastor Steve Long do over and over again is because of what Jesus did on his way to the cross with his healing. And friends, since then, I just need to let you know that virtually everywhere that, you know, God has called me to go to minister, whether it's locally in the United States, in South America, Asia, wherever, everywhere I go, I have often, more often than not, I would say, maybe not always, asked in every service, hey, is there anybody here that needs a healing in their body or your mind, wherever the healing may be necessary for you? Just repeat these words after me. We make the declaration, my healing belongs to me because of what Jesus has done. I receive my healing now in Jesus' name, and healing manifests every time. And it has nothing to do with me. I'm just the vessel. But it was declaring what Jesus has already done for us, because by your stripes we are healed. By his stripes we are healed. So it's one thing to, you know, minister this to other people and so on. But then came a time in my life when I was faced with a severe diagnosis in 2010, 9-10, somewhere out there. It's been a while ago. I started having a lot of problems in my stomach, pains in my stomach, and when all the diagnostic tests were done, the specialist discovered a huge polyp, one of those huge fat things, in my colon that was very close to the hepatic flexure, which basically meant it could cause a bowel obstruction if it got any bigger. And the specialist said, you know, this may never get any bigger. You may do just fine. But he said, I wouldn't take the chance. I would get it out right now. But we can't take the polyp out by itself. It's too big. And so we need to just, you know, cut off a portion of your big intestine and connect it with the lower one, and you'll be fine. You know, he was talking about my intestine like it was a garden hose. You snip it here, you snip it there, and you snip them back together, whoosh, and it'll start flowing again. And I'm thinking, I don't know. I don't think I want to go through this. I'm 50 odd years old at the time, never had surgery in my life. And so when Slojana got the news, her first question to me was, how do you want us to pray into it? And so, you know, I asked the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, how do you want me to pray into it? Because I want to pray according to your will. And I heard very clearly the Holy Spirit say, pray that the polyp will be removed without the need for surgery. And I'm thinking, ooh, that's a tall order. That's not what Dr. Ibrahim said would happen. Okay? But you're the great physician. You know what you're talking about. And so I'm going to pray. So I shared it with some of my very good Christian, born again, you know, tongue-talking, spirit-led believers. And they said, okay, Pastor, we'll pray that the surgery goes well and you'll be healed very quickly. I said, no, that's not what he told me to pray. See, it was very little bit difficult for them to come into agreement with that because it just seemed formidable. But I did find one or two that agreed, and of course, Mojana agreed with me. And so we prayed. And of course, once we, I knew exactly how to declare my healing belongs to me because of what Jesus has done. I receive my healing now in Jesus' name. Amen. No healing. As a matter of fact, things got worse. I started losing weight. You know, I'm not a big guy. I lost 30 pounds in 6 weeks. And so I'm just basically skin and bones. And my congregation would tell me afterwards that they thought I was dying. Because every Sunday they noticed the deterioration, you know, in my body weight and size and so on. And so this went on for a while. And then I'm just going to kind of fast forward to December 30th of that year, when the pain was just unbelievable. Like it was just, I was passing like dark blood in my stools, which is not a good sign. And so I eventually ended up in the ER, and the doctor that looked at me said, you know what? You got a surgery scheduled, January 5th or whatever the date was. And so he said, the surgery will take care of everything. Plus your surgeons, you know, vacationing in the Caribbean now anyway, so we can't bring him in to do the surgery. So it's like, oh, okay. But he said, before you go, we need some of your, a sample, a specimen, to do some tests in the lab. So take this stuff with you. They called it a trap that you put on your toilet bowl. I'm sorry to kind of give you some graphic images here, but it's my story and I'm on the pulpit, okay? So I'm sitting there. Okay? You're stuck with it. So he said, just once you collect a sample, bring it back and we'll take it from there. So I said, okay. And of course, like I'm having pains, but there's a reason why they call it motion. There's no motion, okay, happening. Morning of the 31st comes. And I'm thinking, that feels like I'm going to produce a sample. And so I went, put the trap on there. And definitely there was a sample that started to come out, but the pain was really, really awful. I later on told Slojana, that was like the pain of childbirth. And she said, what? What do you know about childbirth? I said, I watched you. She said, you watched me, but you weren't giving birth. So I apologize to anybody that, any of the ladies that have gone through labor. It was sort of like childbirth, okay? But not quite there, okay? And I could feel that I gave birth to something at the end of it all. And so when I went to take a sample, I thought, that's unlike any sample I've ever produced before. So what does a guy do when that happens? He calls his wife. So I said, Slojana, come over here. I got something to show you. So she drops everything in the kitchen and comes rushing. And as soon as she walks into the bathroom, the first thing she does is... And God had miraculously removed my sense of smell at that moment. And she took a look and she said, could that be the polyp? And I said, I don't know. Get me a plastic bag. So she brought me a Ziploc bag. I stuck it in there. My son rolls to the ER and funny conversation with the triage nurse. She said, what are you here for? I said, I passed this thing that I don't know what it is. She said, take it to the lab. I said, before I take it to the lab, can I show you so you can decide whether I should go to the lab or not? She said, no, I'm calling a doctor for you. So a doctor comes and he says, I hear you got something to show me. I said, yeah. So I told, he looked at it and he said, holy, I won't change a second word, okay? That looks like a polyp. He said, you're weirding me out, man. This is not supposed to happen. So what he said, we'll send it to pathology. And so anyway, path report came back and they said, that's the exact same polyp that showed up in your colonoscopy. And oh yeah, they said, the pathologist's report said, the polyp was removed by spontaneous amputation. Which basically means I haven't got a clue how it came out. Because nobody cut it. You know, the polyp must have cut itself. Spontaneous amputation. Anyway, long story short, no pain after that. God said, pray that the polyp will come out without the need for surgery. And that's exactly what he did. Friends, I'm sharing these stories to tell you that Jesus is not just a healer in the pages of the Bible. Matthew 8 describes what happened then, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, so that we can experience Jesus as the healer today. And today, Jesus is not here on earth as he was back then in the pages of the Bible, but you and I are here. And what Pastor Steve said to me that day, you know, if you have the Holy Spirit in you, you have the power. And later on, I also learned that I have the authority. Jesus gave us all authority over all diseases, every kind of, you know, the demonic spirits and all diseases. And so when we realize what he's given us and we combine that with the revelation that by his stripes we are healed, then we too can receive his healing today. All right, so, okay. I just want to add one more thing. I just saw it in my notes, so I mentioned it. One of the things that I would do whenever I had excruciating pain before that, when it finally all came out, you know, I would make this declaration, of course, but then the Lord actually brought something else to my mind. We had a couple of speakers at our church at some revival meetings just shortly after my diagnosis. And one of them talked on the power of praise. And he said, you must praise God for the breakthrough before he breaks through. That's the key. And this is your year of unparalleled praise. And I want to let you know that when you praise God for what he has promised to do, before he does it, he will do it for you. Don't wait for him to do it before you can praise. You see, and unparalleled praise will produce unparalleled blessings. It will produce unparalleled signs, wonders, and miracles. I've been getting a sense in the last, you know, few weeks especially, that God wants to show himself to those in our communities who are not yet following Jesus by healings, signs, wonders, miracles, irrefutable proofs that nobody can deny. This cannot have happened without the intervention of God. And I'm confident that those kind of testimonies have already been created here at NWC, and there will be more in the days to come. We connect with Lake Mount Worship, and we're seeing that over and over again, where God is confirming that this is the season where he wants to open the eyes of others by causing these eye-popping miracles. And so God's calling each and every one of you to partner with him, you know, to make that happen. Will you accept the call? Amen. Oh, that was a very, very weak amen. All right? You got to do better than that. All right? But right now, you know what? Let's give Jesus a chance, you know, to actually show us one more time that he still heals today. So if you have a need for healing, and some of you put your hands up, maybe not everybody did, but if you want to be vulnerable about it so that he can actually touch you and heal you. And by the way, there's a power of agreement with one another, two or more believers, right? We're here. Matthew 18, 19, Jesus said, if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it shall be done for them by my Father in heaven. So there's going to be another power that's also going to kick in for you to get your healing today. So if you have a healing need in any part of your being, I just want to invite you to just simply stand where you are.
Okay.
And let's just wait on the Lord and see what he does. Okay. Now, a number of people are standing. Oh my goodness, pretty well the whole church is standing. Okay. I was going to say, you're such a sick congregation, but that's not. No, you're not. You are the healed. Amen?
Amen.
Oh my. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. I praise you, Lord, for the healing that is about to manifest right now in so many bodies, in so many minds, emotions. Oh, thank you, Lord. Okay. So, friends, we're going to keep this very simple. I just want you to put your hand on a part of your body if it's something external that you can just touch, or just put your hand on your heart or your head if it is somewhere that you cannot easily access. And just repeat these words after me. My healing belongs to me because of what Jesus has done. By his stripes, I am healed. I receive my healing now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, just like that day that I first saw this happen, if there's something that you would normally do that would cause you pain, I'd like you to test it out right now. So, I don't know, does anybody have, who's got a frozen shoulder? I feel like somebody's got problem with your shoulder. Can you just move your shoulder right now and see if the movement is more fluid and you're able to move it without pain? If it's your knee, just do a slight little knee bend, you know, or if it's something to do with your hip, just move and do something that normally causes pain. And if you're not having any pain right now or your pain level has gone down, just wave. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. The reason I'm asking you to wave is so that Jesus gets the glory and with the power of testimony. Amen? The more we testify, the more we will have to testify about. All right? Okay, so we're going to do this once again. But I just got a memo from the head office here saying, just like that day, you know, that woman that was sitting in that chair, what was blocking her healing from manifesting was unforgiveness. And if the Holy Spirit is saying to you right now, even as I said that, hey, you need to forgive so-and-so, or you have forgiven them, but only to a certain extent, you need to release 100% forgiveness towards that person. Make a choice to forgive. You may not feel like forgiving, but make a choice to forgive. I'm just going to give you 30 seconds just to say between you and the Lord, Lord, I choose to forgive so-and-so. Because he knows your story. So just release the unforgiveness. Release it right now, very quickly. Ooh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hey, all right. Ooh, okay, there. And I also am sensing that some of you may be experiencing some generational, curses manifesting as disease. So just, if that's you, here are the words that I'm going to just say for you. Lord, we place the cross of Christ between this disease and the previous generations, that all curses will stop at your cross right now. In Jesus' name. Okay, let's make the declaration one more time. My healing belongs to me because of what Jesus has done. By his stripes I am healed. I receive my healing now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I'm going to ask one more time. Who else is noticing a change in their condition? I was hearing something about migraines. Anybody come with a migraine that is noticing a change? Are you noticing a change? Put your hand up. Any other condition? Anybody else? Do you need to check it out again? Do something to check out your pain level or comfort or discomfort from before? If they change, just so everybody that noticed a change in their condition today, just wave right now. Friends, just look around and see what Jesus has been doing already this morning. Amen. All right. Now, the words of Jesus I read to you from Mark chapter 16 say that those who believe in Jesus shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Recovery sometimes takes time. So the healing is already done, but your recovery may take a little while. So keep on making this declaration. Thank you, Lord, for the healing. I praise you for the healing. And watch the healing manifest. Send your testimonies to your pastors so that you can celebrate the goodness of God even more together as a church family. Amen? Amen. All right. And so I'm pretty well done preaching. But if you are here today, and friends, let's have you all sit down for a minute. I just want every eye closed for about 30 seconds here. If you're here today and you have never, ever made a decision to follow Jesus, to make him the Lord and Savior of your life, just put your hand up to let him know it's not for my sake, it's for him that you are doing that. Now, if you made the commitment before, you were following him, but for some reason you went the other way or you backslid, and today the Holy Spirit's saying, you know, I need you to commit yourself 100% to me. All to Jesus I surrender. If that is you, if you feel that conviction, would you put your hand up? Nobody else knows, just you and the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your conviction. So I'm going to invite those of you who put your hand up just at the end of the service when the prayer team is up here to just come forward and have them pray with you and seal that commitment that you made. And if there's any other need that you came in with this morning, then we have a prayer team that's available for you as well. So, Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for what you have done. We thank you, Lord, that even now, sensing this very strongly, you're sending forth your word and you're healing people. First, I'm just feeling this right now in my spirit, so I'm just going to release it. If you are here and someone in your family or someone in your friendship circle or work circle has a healing need, and you've already been praying for them, can you just put your hand up right now? And Lord, that day when that centurion came and asked for healing for his servant, you just gave a word and he was healed. So Lord, we ask right now that you release that healing word through the faith of those who are standing on their behalf here today. Lord, we thank you once again for the testimonies of healing that are coming as your word goes forth and accomplishes the purpose for which it is sent. In Jesus' name, amen.